Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Creative Differences Podcast. This is your one-stop shop for movie reviews, Throwback Thursdays, Fancast Fridays, sometimes a Top 5 Tuesday, but not often, and a number of other pop culture-related items. I'm Dallas, and if you're wondering why I said the thing that Demi usually says after we introduce ourselves, it's because she ain't here, and there's no reason for me to circle back and say it after we've introduced ourselves. Also, before I tag in my tag team partner, I have a retraction to make, because in our Iron Giants Fancast, I said something to Cassie that bothered me after I said it. Cassie, you asked me if CM Punk is a bad person, and I said, with wrestlers, pretty much every wrestler, it depends who you ask. And that's not true. So it applies to a lot of wrestlers at a certain level because of everything I said in that episode. Like, it's an industry that is pretty cutthroat and comes from a place of blah, blah, blah. I said it all last time. Don't worry about it. The point is, there are plenty of wrestlers who are, like, by all accounts, beloved by everyone inside and out of the business. So I didn't want to make a negative generalization, especially because mm-hmm. I'm the only person on this podcast who's like part of that fandom. So it's like, I'm really the only voice on the podcast that talks about wrestling, and I don't want to give a negative generalization. So yeah, there's my retraction. Hit me up with any questions. I'm Dallas.
Damn. I'm Cassie, and I don't have a monologue, so... Here we are. Has Vince McMahon been run out of town yet?
So when you say run out of town, he was run out of wrestling.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah. He okay. Actually, fortunately for me, I started watching again like 2 years ago at this point. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't intentional on my part, but it did line up with right after he got ran out of the company.
Nice.
So I was like, that's perfect. Because, you know, he is a bad person. Hmm. I need no retraction for that. He's a bad guy. So that first couple minutes of me talking a lot and Cassie saying a little bit less is going to be the vibe, because we're talking about two movies,
yes,
Project Hail Mary and They Will Kill You. I watched them. Cassie did not.
Which, like, ironically, I watched a movie last night that's probably very similar to one of them, but it wasn't one of them.
And we will get to that. Yeah, like I said, Demi's not here. She got caught up with a rich family of devil worshippers, so we have to go rescue her after this. And Gabby is putting the sin in Sin City. So she ain't here either. But, you know, she's never here. Before we get into the episode, please like, share, subscribe, hit the buttons, hit the bells, send the links, copy and paste, whatever. Because I want Zazie to hear this, because I want her to hear how cool I think she is. Zazie Beats. Okay, so there's another Zazie out there. Let's start with Project Hail Mary. Because it came out first.
Okay.
And that's really all I got. All right, Project Hail Mary. It is directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller. You probably know them. Maybe you don't. Not everybody knows movie people. They made Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. They made the Lego Movie. They wrote and produced the Spider-Verse movies. In theory, they're working on another one. The movie is written by Drew Goddard. He wrote Cloverfield. He wrote Cabin in the Woods. He wrote The Martian, which is based on a book by Andy Weir, who wrote the book that this is based on, Man Like Space. Mm-hmm. Movie stars Ryan Gosling, James Ortiz, Lionel Boyce, and Sandra Hula. The reason I laugh is because I was watching a Watch Mojo video. And for those who don't know, the like main Watch Mojo lady, Jane Mojo, she has a thing that she does where she uses really authentic pronunciations for people's names.
Okay.
Like any name that's like another language. Yeah. And I really admire, because she goes hard with it. But like, she'll be talking and she'll be like, yeah, anytime you have Ryan Gosling and Sandra Hula on screen. That's like, what? But yeah, it's great. Shout out to Sandra. She's awesome. But yeah, like I said, based on the novel by Andy Weir, came out 5 years ago. Now it's a movie. That's what happens. That's how we get movies these days.
I think he's written three novels. And so far, I think only one of them hasn't been made into a movie.
Okay, that makes sense.
I don't know if it's called like Artemis or something. I don't know if that's in production.
Yeah, I think I've heard that name.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. He likes space. He writes about space. They make a movie about space. IMDb summary is, a science teacher wakes up alone on a spaceship. As his memory returns, he uncovers a mission to stop a mysterious substance killing Earth's sun, and that an unexpected friendship may be the key. First things first, this is going to be a very surface level me talking about the movie, because there's something that happens in the movie that's a pretty big part of the movie, and it's hard to talk about the movie without talking about that, but it happens far enough into the movie that it feels like a reveal that if you don't watch trailers, you might not have gotten. So if you want to go in blind, I'm going to respect that and not say anything about that. If you've seen the movie, you probably know what I'm talking about, and you probably wanted me to talk about this because it's a pretty cool part of the movie. Sorry, I'm not going to do it. So moving on from that. Initial thoughts, great movie, liked it a whole lot. The only thing that would make me hesitant to watch it again is the runtime. It is about 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Ooh.
And hey, y'all know me, maybe you don't. I don't love my movies to be that long.
Yeah, that's pushing it.
Yeah, it doesn't make me dislike a movie. Obviously, it still came out like, that was great. What a great time we had with Ryan Gosling in space. I'm not always down to throw on the 240 movie again.
I think for a movie that long, I would probably say like, okay, see it once in theaters and then watch it at home when you can pause it, take a break, you know.
Yeah, you know, stretch your legs, get a snack.
Bring back intermissions in theaters. I'm so serious.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I'm not mad at it. Like, I don't typically need it, but, you know, sometimes people just get out of hand. Like, you got your insert super old white director here, and they're like, my movie's going to be 4 hours. Because I just want it to be. I was like, all right, man, whatever. But that's not this. Lauren Miller didn't do that. It's movie 240. It's cool. You feel it at times. Because, you know, a movie like this, based on the premise, is going to be a lot of a dude sitting alone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's like, ooh, yeah.
Which I guess is what Andy Weir likes to write.
I mean, yeah. People lonely in space. But yeah, it's not a huge issue, the runtime. Like, mm-hmm. They use it well to make us feel for Grace. That's Ryan Gosling's character's name. They tell the story with flashbacks to his life on Earth before the mission.
Okay.
So you get to see, like, how he interacts with others, how charming he is.
Mm.
It's my favorite type of Ryan Gosling charm, where you know he could have all the charisma in the world, but he's really goofy too, and it's so funny.
Okay.
I love me some Ryan Gosling. He's awesome. He can do anything except for play cornerback in football.
Don't you take out my son!
He's getting beat like he stole something, Mr. Bosley.
Cassie, do you get that reference?
Remember the Titans, I'm assuming?
Yeah, remember the Titans.
I don't know the scene. I don't know his character. I think I've heard you talk enough about him being in Remember the Titans that strong side.
Yeah, there's like a long-standing meme that says, it's like a picture of him in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And because in the movie, he's not that good.
Okay.
He's taken out for Donald Faison's character because Donald Faison's character is black and better at football. And people like post a meme of him, of Ryan, in the movie, and it says, never forget that Ryan Gosling was an absolute liability at cornerback.
Oh.
And Ryan was recently on a podcast with the Kelce brothers, and he talked about how, like, no matter what I do in life, someone's going to be like, never forget he was a liability at corner.
You know what?
And it's so funny to me.
I think that's reasonable. Celebrities, we got to keep them humble, and if that's how you
do it. We got to keep them humble. It's like, yo, bro, you are handsome, great actor, charismatic, beautiful partner, probably beautiful kids. I don't know if he had kids. But you can't play cornerback, so don't forget that. Remember where you came from. Anyway, speaking of Grace, the character in the movie, this movie, he's not a typical hero type, and I like that because there are so many movies and TV shows and everything where a protagonist is called to do something. There's always going to be that, like, reluctance at first, but then they're like, I could do it. I could save the world. I could fight the demon. I could go on a quest.
Mm-hmm.
But not everyone's like that. Like, not everyone's just going to become the bravest person in the world because the situation calls for them. Mm-hmm. And Grace is the most reluctant hero you could probably have in a movie.
Nice.
And I'm like, wow, that is refreshing because it's like, yeah, just because this situation calls for him to do this thing doesn't mean he's all of a sudden going to be like, I can fight. It's like, no, I'm scared and I don't want to do it. And I like that. It was nice. It was relatable. I wouldn't be up there.
Is he like a science dude?
He's a science dude. He teaches science to children. And he has controversial, I guess, it's like theories that put him in the spotlight for one way or another. And Sandra Hewler comes in, is like, I need someone like you. I need someone with your mind to figure out this thing that nobody can figure out. He's like, bet. And then they're like going to space. And he's like, no. But he's great. Sandra's great. I can't remember her character's name, but she's like the space lady who's organizing the mission.
The space lady.
We love a space lady. There's like a warm coldness to her. Like, she has this like initial demeanor of like, look, man, I'm not here for your jokes. I'm not really here to get close to you. I just want to do this thing. I need you for this thing. But over the time, you can kind of see them like, they like each other.
Mm-hmm.
She's cool with him. She doesn't really want to make him do a thing he doesn't want to do. She's just like, sorry, bro, we got to do this thing. But
okay, that's
there's
good.
Some nice humor that comes between them. Lionel Boyce, shout out to Marcus from The Bear. One of the reasons I was so excited to see this movie.
Okay.
He's great. He plays a dude named Carl. And Carl is not in the movie a lot, but he develops a friendship with Grace.
Nice.
And they play games. They eat sour Skittles. Mm-hmm. It's a joy to watch. It's so enjoyable. Okay. I wish we got more Carl. Shout out to Lionel Boyce. I would get some real heat with Demi if I didn't bring up Greg Fraser. He's the cinematographer.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He makes all his movies look dope. He's worked on Dune and other things. I want to say he does the Knives Out movies. I'm sure he's done a Star Wars too.
Oh, The Mandalorian, Rogue One. Yeah, he's done a Star Wars too.
Yeah. He'd be in the stars. Which makes sense. He knows how to make space look good. And he does that here.
Shout out Greg Fraser. He's also doing The Beatles, a four film cinematic.
All right.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Why not? Make them look like Beatles. Like I said, this wasn't as brief as I thought, but left out a big part of it. But that part is awesome. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. That's a really, really fun part of the movie. And it's weird to talk about this movie without talking about it because it's my favorite thing about the movie. Really good. If you like The Martian and or Ryan Gosling, or, you know, just space, I recommend it. It's a good time.
All right. Solid.
You will be there for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And moving on to a movie that is very different in pretty much every way. They Will Kill You.
All right.
It is directed by Kirill Sokolov, who is not someone I was familiar with. Doesn't have a Wikipedia to my knowledge, but I looked on IMDb. He made a movie called No Looking Back, and he made a movie called Why Don't You Just Die? So now he has made a movie called Why Don't You Just Die? And a movie called They Will Kill You. And I'm a little worried. Especially after seeing this movie. Dude, check on him. The movie is written by Kirill and Alex Litvak, who wrote Predators, the 2010 movie with Adrian Brody and Topher Grace.
Okay.
A bunch of other people in space getting hunted by predators. Yeah, that's a pretty fun movie, which makes sense because this is a pretty fun movie. It stars Zazie Beetz, Myhala, Addison Joseph, Tom Felton, Heather Graham, and Patricia Arquette. And the IMDb summary is, a woman takes a job as a housekeeper in a New York City high-rise, unaware of the building's history of disappearances. She soon realizes the community is shrouded in mystery. So this movie, it's a wild one. I will say this. It's worth the price of admission just for the fact that Zazie fights with a flaming axe while Dochi is playing in the background.
Okay. All right.
And like, you need me to get a ticket to a movie? That's how you do it.
There are worse ways to do it, yeah.
There are worse ways to do it. I love Zazie Beetz. She's amazing. And she's great in this movie. So from a premise standpoint, it does feel like reheated Ready or Nachos because they have almost
that's
the same exact premise.
By the way.
Thank you.
I don't want that to go past without comment.
Appreciate that. I was very proud of that one. You've seen Ready or Not very recently.
I watched it last night.
Yeah. And when I saw the trailer for this, I was like, looks like Ready or Not, but with Zazie, which you got me, especially with the sequel of that movie just releasing it like around the same time. If you know, you know. But I will say, from what I know of Ready or Not, it is also comedic, but
it is surprisingly funny.
Yeah, the Radio Silence guys are funny. They made Abigail as well, and it's very funny too. They like to be funny, spooky. I think one of the main differences is this is also horror adjacent. But I feel like if you had to pick two genres to describe it, this one is comedy action with some horror in there. And I think Ready or Not is more comedy horror. Like, I know she also has to fight back to an extent.
You know what? Yes, because she doesn't really do that much actual fighting herself. It's much more running away.
Yeah, Ready or Not is. And it's so interesting how changing certain aspects or elements of a story can change how it affects people. Because we watched this movie, watched it with Kayla, and it's more of a horror movie than I realized when I told Kayla I wanted to see it with her. Because I thought it was just going to be straight up action. But there are parts where I'm like, okay, this is kind of a horror movie too. The next day, Kayla said she had a nightmare about people trying to kill her. But she said she wasn't scared because she was prepared in the dream. And I was like, see, if you watch Ready or Not, it would have just been scary because you would have just been chased around.
Yeah. Because it's like, there's a moment where it's like, oh, she got a gun. Maybe this will turn around. No, the ammo is for display only. Oh, she's got a knife. Yeah. Maybe it'll turn around. Nah, they still got it. Like, it's definitely, like, even at the, I guess this is not really a spoiler because it's what doesn't happen. But I was wondering at the end if she was going to get like a, haha, I'm going to go on a rampage and kill all y'all. No, she doesn't. So,
right.
Yeah, it seems like a different vibe.
Yeah, and that thing that doesn't happen is the entire premise of They Will Kill You. So it's like, that's where they diverge. Very similar foundation of story. Yeah, speaking of it being an action movie, Zazie is amazing. She's a certified action star. I can watch her fight people all day, especially evil rich people. Eat the rich, swing axes at them, light them on fire, whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
Speaking of the rich people, Patricia Arquette, she's great, as always. So I feel like for people who have seen Severance, there's a vibe there that's like, oh yeah, she's very good at this, playing that like authority figure who is up to something weird and wonky, but is going to make you feel it. Heather Graham was really funny. Tom Felton was funny. Like, it's a good cast. Good cast of people. It's really just violent. It's so violent. Like, it's extremely bloody, extremely gory. If you can't take that, I'd say pass on this one. That's not my favorite type of movie, but there was enough in the movie that I liked that I still came out thinking like, yeah, I think I enjoyed that.
There have been, what, 4 John Wick movies and a TV show? 5, mm-hmm. sorry, technically, if you count Ballerina. Mm-hmm. So, though I don't know if they're very gory.
That's the thing, yes. Is they're super violent, but there are movies that show a bunch of people getting killed, and then there are movies that are like, yo, look how this blood splatters from this neck. Mm. Look how this, like, you're almost watching a cartoon at certain points with how they do the blood in this movie.
Mm, gotcha, okay.
And that's where a lot of movies lose me. But I was like, oh, that's crazy. That's what we're doing. Okay, that's a fire hose of blood shooting out that person's neck. This is what I signed up for, I guess. And I knew that. I saw it coming. Not completely. It was, oh my God, wild. But I do say, speaking of the visuals, I admire the creativity of it because there are a lot of influences that you can see, obviously Ready or Not from a premise standpoint. Mm-hmm. But stylistically, there's like Kill Bill, Afro Samurai, all of these extremely stylized, violent things. Mm-hmm. And there was a video, a reel on Instagram of Zazie talking to someone about the influences. Mm-hmm. She mentioned those, and she mentioned another movie, a Japanese movie. I can't remember. I tried to find the video, but that's the problem with Instagram, is you just scroll through reels, and how would you find it again?
Mm.
But yeah, Zazie, if you're listening, leave us a comment that tells me the movie you're talking about. Yeah, it's very fun. The soundtrack, fantastic. There are 2 songs that stood out to me that I was like, I'm gonna like this movie. Mm-hmm. One of the earlier ones is called Bloody Samurai by Black Knights, mm-hmm. actually, which is in Afro Samurai, either the movie or the show.
Mm, nice. Okay.
And it's kind of, it sets the tone of, this is what we're doing today. I'm like, okay, this is gonna be fun. Right. Hip hop, Zazie killing people.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. And the other one is Crazy by Dochi.
Mm.
It's one of the remixes. I think it's called Safari Riot Remix or something like that. I don't know. I couldn't find it, but that's my favorite scene in the movie because she has an act, and I think before we see the axe, we see like this cloth and she like soaks it in alcohol. And Kayla was like, Molotov? And I was like, Molotov? And then she like wraps it around an axe and lights the axe on fire. I was like,
even
oh
better.
Yeah. And then she runs into this big like banquet hall ballroom looking thing. And Dochi starts playing and she's going crazy.
Love it.
No pun intended. That's the name of the song. But fantastic. I was like, this is why I came. This is why we come to the movies. Heartbreak feels good in a place like this. We come to the movies for Zazie killing rich people with an axe. Edit that into the Nicole monologue. But yeah, other than it's fun, it's extremely violent. It's pretty easy to know, I think, who to recommend this to.
Yeah.
If you want to sit there and watch an hour and a half of extreme violence, you'll have a good time with it. If not, probably not your bag. Maybe skip it.
Okay.
Also, it gets insane toward the end. Like, ooh, it's insane the whole time, but man.
Nice.
There's a scene with a pig and yeah, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, there's no way for me to explain it in a way that does it justice. So yeah, wild times. Watch the trailer. If it gets you, you'll know. It's what it says on the tin. The price is on the can, though.
Nice.
That's They Will Kill You.
All right.
Which means we are going to our 10-minute take.
Yeah, that's me.
Miss Cassie. That's you.
All right, all right. 10-minute take. So, again, this is the thing with almost every 10-minute take where it's like 10 minutes is not enough time to know what most things are. And the same is true with Perfect Blue because I watched the first 10 minutes of that.
Oh, boy.
And it's like, I mean, I can tell. It's vibed. I can tell, right? Because it's about this singer who, I don't know if she wants to act or not. I couldn't quite tell based on some stuff that happens. But like, right. She's part of an idol group, mm-hmm. and they're performing their like last concert because she's like, oh, I'm going to quit being a singer. I'm going to be an actress, you know? And so the concert happens, and you can tell there's some weird shit. There's some hecklers who are like, yo, this shit sucks. Well, I don't know why we're here. Like, why did you come, nigga? Damn.
Right. Maybe don't be here.
But then there's also a guy who you can tell is going to be sort of obsessive and probably a stalker by the way he's looking at her. Like,
yeah.
There's a really good shot of where he's like looking at her like through his hand. It's very creepy.
Yeah. People love that shot.
And the eyes, too. I'm just like, yep. Mm-hmm. And he confronts the hecklers, and I'm like, yep, You're going to be a stalker later, for sure. 100%. You're one of those fans who cannot be normal.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because, like, there's a bit in there. It's the main lady, Mima? Mia? I can't remember. But
it's been a while since I've seen Mina, it, but I'll look it up while you talk.
But she's, like, in a room while a conversation about her is happening around her. Mm-hmm. Of like, oh, she should just be singing. Nah, she's an actress. She's great as an actress. And it is interesting because I was watching that and I was like, okay, so this is what it is. You know, this is the life of a celebrity. People make decisions about you, for you, yada, yada, yada. But it is interesting that at the end, someone says, oh, but what about her feelings? But then it cuts. And we don't know what she says. But I did like at least that that was there.
Yeah. Her name is Mima, by the way.
Thank you. Mima, because that was my immediate thought, because the way she's presented, she's like looking down, she's not talking. I was like, oh, okay, this is one of those. But I like that at least the question came up. But I mean, you know, from the 10 minutes, I can tell you there's probably going to be an obsessive stalker, and that itself is going to be a problem. Other than that, I mean, I don't know much about that one. So.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I really only knew it because of people I follow on like YouTubers and stuff like that. There's a guy named Super Eye Patch Wolf. Shout out to him. Mm. He's one of my favorite YouTubers, and he's really into anime, and he's into Satoshi Kon, who's the guy who made this.
Did Satoshi Kon do Paprika, or was that somebody else?
That is a good question.
Because that's another one, like Purple
Yes, he
Blue
did.
And, oh, okay. Because those are movies I often seen mentioned together, and that would make sense if he made them both.
Yeah, he also did the TV show Paranoia Agent, which is another one that people talk about.
Tokyo Godfathers people love. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's popular dude. It's a wild movie. And I think I'd recommend it to you. It's very psychological thrillery, kind of horror, like that too.
Well, and so I'm reading the Wikipedia article on Satoshi Kon, and Perfect Blue was his directorial debut. It says, with the permission of the original author, Kon was allowed to make any changes he wanted, except for keeping the three elements of the novel: idol, horror, and stalker. So yeah.
Idol, horror, and stalker?
Idol, horror, and stalker.
Horror and stalker. Got it. Yeah. That's all there. I think it makes sense. The 10 minutes is just like, hey, this dude's going to be a problem. Look out for that. And then the dude becomes a problem. So look out for that.
Which is in itself interesting.
Yeah. Because
that is always a very interesting thing of like, you love this person so much that it becomes obsession, but you don't think there's anything wrong with that. But how do you not see that? It's weird.
Yeah. And I think like the phrase ahead of its time gets thrown around a lot. But when I saw this movie, I think last year I saw it in theaters. It was the first time I saw it. I was like, this is very ahead of its time because people are so parasocial today, and they always have been. Like, even when it came out, it was already a thing. But social media has made it all so much worse. And this movie came out around the time of like internet forums and chat rooms are kind of starting to pop off.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, this is a parasocial nightmare. Yeah, it came out in 97. So yeah, before it was really like the internet was really, really.
I'm sorry. Hold up. Satoshi Kon worked on JoJo? Which JoJo did he do? Oh, 1993, I would assume. It's like part one. That, I feel like that says something, and I'm not sure what it says, but I like it.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure? Yeah. I can see that. He's a strange, he's an interesting guy. But yeah, I'm glad that you saw at least the first 10 minutes.
I mean, I might watch the rest of it. Like, Satoshi Kon is one of those names that I hear enough that I kind of want to watch some of his stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of got me too. Yeah. Also, I was at a point where I was not annoyed, but kind of like lamenting the lack of horror animation for adults in like Western animation. Because I feel like over here we look at animation and say, like, oh, that's for kids.
So
like they make like spooky, like Frankenweenie, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Spoiler alert, on the list of future things for me to watch is Junji Ito, I think. So
yes.
That tracks.
Yeah, because in Japan, they're like, we will make a lot of animated horror stuff. So I'm like, okay, I want more of that. So I guess I'm going to have to go over there to get it.
Yeah.
Perfect Blue. Would recommend. Also, only 80 minutes. So love that.
Love it.
Right? It's such an easy watch.
I do have a question for you. Does the Super Sentai thing that opens the movie, does that come back? Or is that just there to be there?
So I remember what you're talking about, and I can't remember why it's there. So no, it's not really part of the story.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I think maybe, I don't know if it's like it's a show in the world, because there's a lot of like media stuff, because, you know, she wants to be an actress and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Okay.
Cool. That section we don't have a name for. Is there anything in the news that you're excited about that's coming out or whatever?
Nothing comes to mind right away. I did enjoy the way that people are clowning on The Rock's look in live action Moana.
Oh, boy.
That was great.
Man.
that wig.
What a wig.
Oh, well, okay. You know what? Never mind, actually, because this is supposed to be what we're looking forward to, and this would be something that I am apprehensive about, so.
Ah. Mm. Okay. Are you like, is it something that you want to be good, but you're not sure if it will be good?
No, it's... So, after people were really annoying and, like, peeled apart the trailer, Nintendo announced that Fox McCloud is going to be in the Super Mario Galaxy movie, and I don't love that.
All right.
Because I don't see the point of a Smash Bros. Movie. I don't see the point of creating that universe. I think not everything has to be a universe, but it kind of frustrates me that it seems like we're going in that direction. Cause I'm like, what do you do with a Smash movie? What do you do? They're going to fight the big glove. Oogie.
I would love to see them fight the big glove.
I don't
put Master Hand in
shit,
there
though. Like, I don't know. Movie. Like, you know, I was talking to my partner about it and he was like, oh, it'd be like Mortal Kombat. And it's like, yeah, I guess. And I feel like that's fine, but to me, the draw of Mortal Kombat is how gruesome it can get. And look, because otherwise it's just watching people fight. And that, for me, is not something that's terribly interesting. But I like what they can do with abilities and with the, like, how is that? Oh, he can make his hat spin like that, and then it's a buzzsaw. And all right. You know, and obviously Nintendo ain't about to do that.
No, they're not going to buzzsaw anybody in half with Mario's demon hat.
Man, you could do some really good stuff with Cappy, because that shit's crazy. But yeah, I don't know. It's just the kind of thing where I'm like, all right, you didn't need it.
That's fair. And I feel like we're different in how much we enjoy, like, just want to watch people fight in our media. Because as someone who doesn't love, let's see how gruesome we can get, I still like Mortal Kombat for the wide range of, like, how creative they can get with the characters. And, oh, this guy's a lizard person. This man is ice. This woman... Her mouth go crazy. So various like character types, stuff like that. And I feel like you can also have that kind of fun with Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, certainly.
Also, in the first movie when Mario goes up against Donkey Kong, I was like, oh, this feels very Smash Brothers and I'm enjoying that.
Yeah. I mean, that one at least was more, it made a lot more sense, right? Because I think the first Mario game ever was him and Donkey Kong. So it's like, yes, okay.
Right.
But... Now it's like, oh, is Samus going to come through? Is Kirby going to show up? Like, how deep does this go?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because, as you say, not everything needs to be a universe, but that is the opposite of Hollywood's
money-making
plan. Yeah. And, you know, I'm here for it. I watched Master Hand dap some people up.
If this gets a weird-ass crossover between animated Mario and live-action Link, I'm here for that because I think it'll be awful. Man.
That's going to be, that would be interesting. Don't see it happening, but hey, you never know.
I can dream.
Yeah, you can dream. My thing is Spider-Man. We got a new Spider-Man trailer. I was going to be excited regardless of what was in it.
Speaking of stalkers.
Right? Oh, Pete. But yeah, it's another trailer that's been, every layer of it has been peeled back by everyone on the internet. And there's so much in it. So like, that makes sense if that's how you do your content. I get it. But Keith David's voice is in it. Keith David's voice is always great. I'm always happy to hear Keith David's voice. I assume we'll see him at some point, hopefully. Punisher shows up. That was lovely. Ninjas are there. That's awesome. I'm just excited for it. I can't wait.
All right. Love that for you.
Spider-Man. That's me. We love it. And moving on to different opinions, the section that we do once every like few months.
Yeah, which we could do more often if we got more comments. So
if y'all leave more comments,
hit us up, damn.
usually we'll talk to you. Sometimes you guys leave comments and then we go like 3 months without making an episode. And I'm sorry about that. But you just got to play your cards. Hope it turns out right. Anyway, we have a comment on TikTok, which was on our Iron Giant fan cast reel for Agent Kent Mansley, the scummy government agent. Mm-hmm. The comment is from Tomfoolery XX7. Fun name. And the comment says, no spoilers, but that man didn't make it back to Washington. He's buried in a shallow grave in the middle of nowhere in the Maine woods.
Jesus.
You know?
I feel like, obviously, I don't remember the movie. I'm assuming we don't see him die. But I'm just
we don't see him die, no.
It's a weird thing to say, no spoilers, but here is the fate of a character. Even though it's not, it's imagined. It's
and that's
like,
the thing. When I first read it, I was like, wait, what? And I was like, oh, no, this is a headcanon situation. Mm-hmm. Which, I'm not going to look at you and say that you're wrong. It's pretty likely, given what he was doing, that he might be buried in a shallow grave in the Maine woods. Anyway, this has been Different Opinion, where we talk about the off-screen deaths of characters in kids' movies from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with that, we have finished. Look at that.
Oh my God. That.
How long's it been?
Congrats to me.
Look at that.
You're welcome.
Here's a quick one today. There's only two of us. What do you want?
Yeah.
You got what you needed. Anyway, thanks for listening. We appreciate you. Comment something. Thank you, Crown Digital, Brandon and Io, for putting us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Jimmy, you're not here, but thank you for editing and putting us on YouTube. Cassie, thank you for tag teaming this episode with me.
Got you.
Because, we just weren't going to have one. I'm not about to do this myself.
Right.
Just talking to a microphone alone.
Plenty of people make a career out of that, but it doesn't seem like your thing.
It's not me. I'm not going to do that. I can't even really listen to those podcasts that much. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you got to bring somebody in here, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, as always, you can reach us in the comments. Please do. Or you can hit us on Instagram or Tumblr at Creative Differences Podcast, Facebook.com/Creative Differences PC, and TikTok at Creative Differences Pod. If you want to talk to me about how cool Zazie Beats is, find me on Instagram, Letterboxd, or Serialized at A King Named Simba.
You can find me on Blue Sky at Sassy Soothsayer. Recommend some animated horror movies to me, and I'll pass them on to Dallas, and then we can watch them and compare notes.
Yeah, let's get it. Gabby, she ain't here. She's never here. But you know where she is? She's on Blue Sky at Making Your Rocket Blast Off. Bit of a long username, but she wanted it, so
Ew. Talk
to her about it on Blue Sky. And Demi is also on Blue Sky. She's on Blue Sky at Getting Your Rocks Off. Similar name, but shorter.
All right. It's better than what I was thinking, so.
All right. We'll take it.
Yeah.
We will take it. All right. It's been different. Bye.
Bye.
So we're talking about Smash Brothers.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, don't do that. We don't need that. That's stupid. And you should feel stupid wanting to make it. That's not exactly what you said, but it was a similar energy. What is a video game that you do want to see adapted into a movie?
Okay, so technically it is happening, but okay. God knows if it actually will. I've wanted a BioShock something for a very long time.
Oh.
And there was supposed to be a movie directed by Gore Verbinski, but I think the issue was he wanted to go hard R, which I think is a great idea, and the studio, whatever, was like, So now it's theoretically being turned into a TV show. I don't know if it'll actually happen. I don't have faith.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about BioShock. I know there's not Big Daddies, Little Girls. What?
Yes.
Is that BioShock?
Big Daddies, Little Sisters.
Little Sisters. Okay.
Yes. There's also a big sister in the second one.
Oh, look at that. I was going to say Daddy Doms. That's not it. It's probably not that.
No.
They don't call him that.
They don't know.